We have an apostle that started a Christian church in Turkey, Pastor Drew. Gone? Yeah. And it's still going on today. Believe it or not. This is something that the whole world acknowledges. Whether they want to publicly acknowledge it or not, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And in America, we can truly say it's the most wonderful time of the year. Because, you know why? Because it's not just a one-fer. It's a Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, all rolled into one. you go get your Halloween stuff and you buy your Thanksgiving and your Christmas while you're at it. It's a three for one. But it all accumulates into the last final excitement. Christmas. No, that Christ is born. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because it's as amazing as Christmas is, and we who have not forgotten how awesome Christmas is, I want you to think of Christmas just in a little different way for me today. This is just a thought. It's only a thought. It's a true thought, but it's just a thought. Did you know Christ was born on, let's just act like it's true. Did you know Christ was born on Christmas Day? Let's act like that part is true. All right, Christ was born. Wait, hey, he was born on his birthday. That's good enough. Christ was born on Christmas Day. So that, there you go. It's correct. He was born. And did you know that on his day, he was exalted on his birthday? You know who exalted him? Well, we know there was a heavenly host. We know there was God the Father and the Spirit of God, his mom and his dad. But the world? Did the world exalt him? It's amazing. The world was supposed to exalt Christ on Christmas Day. Did you know that? And who showed up? The shepherds. And they had to be pushed and nudged by the holy angels to do it. But they were the representation of the world. They were the representation of the whole world. And that's all who showed up to exalt Christ on Christmas Day. There's another sacred time when Christ was exalted. Do you know when? It was after his death. And he went up. He's transfigured. He went up to see his Father in heaven. And the whole world should have been there. They should have showed up and seen Christ exalted. Who was there? Some apostles? That's it? That's all? The whole world missed it? All Christ was asking for, all God the Father was asking for from man was only two times in history that, please, would you exalt my son? And both times, barely showed up. It's pretty sad, isn't it? Well, let me share a thought with you. This is what Christ says in Luke, the 14th chapter and 11th verse. He says, for whosoever exalts himself shall be abased. Shall be abased. You can find in that word abased, but you can also find in that word abased, resisted. And you can also find in that word abased, brought down low, to the end of themselves. It will be brought down to the end, to the end of themselves. Have you ever come to the end of yourself? Social, psychologically, mentally, emotionally, physically. Have you ever been brought down to that place? Christ says, for whosoever will exalt himself shall be abased. And listen to that. Listen to this. This is not two verses that are stuck together. This is one verse. Gotta get it. This is two times when the individual should have been exalted. And you find it right here in this same verse. Just like Christ. His birth and after his death. In this verse you see, for whosoever exalts himself or will find themselves to be prideful, that person will be abased. They will be brought to the end themselves. Oh God, why does this have to happen to me? Oh God, why is this happening? Oh God, why would you allow this to happen? I'll tell you why, because he loves you. And he wants the pride that is in you to be abased. not you, but the pride that is in you that wants to become a part of you, he wants it to be abased. He wants it to be resisted. He wants it to be brought down low. He wants it to be humbled. Why? This is why God is after you. After me. I'm going to tell you why God is after you. This is why. He is after you, and it says, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. Why is God after you? Why is he wanting to bring you to the end of yourself? Why does he want you to recognize sin for sin? Why does he want to bring you to a place so that you can understand? He's doing it so he can exalt you. God is after me because he wants to exalt me. I think that would be a good thing. Why is this happening to me? Because God wants to exalt me. He wants to exalt me. In James, the fourth chapter in the sixth verse, it tells us how God wants to exalt mankind. Now, mankind did not do a very good job exalting Jesus Christ, nor God. But for some reason, God wants to exalt mankind. And how's he doing it? I'll show you. In James, the fourth chapter in the sixth verse, it says, he gives grace. He gives much more grace. That's it. That's it. Here. How is God wanting to exalt all mankind? By giving them more grace. So in other words, God has already given them grace to give them more grace. He's given them grace. What do you mean he's given them grace? He's given them the ability to come to themselves. He's going after them. He's taking the pride that causes them to resist him, and he's bringing it down low. And he's causing men to find the end of themselves, hoping that at some point they will cry out and get more grace from God. This extra grace is grace that we know that is saving grace. And what is grace? Grace is only those things that God can do that are good for you. That's what grace is. Only God can do these things, and he's doing them for you. He wants to bring you to a place so he can exalt you. He's going to resist the proud, and he's going to give more grace to the humble. That's what he's going to do. Here's a picture of someone God is going to do this for. In Job's the first chapter, we see God saying to Satan, have you considered my son Job? Have you considered my son Job? Hey, listen, he's my servant. Why is he my servant? Because he receives grace. He holds it in his hands. He holds it. He hides it in his heart. He's all about my grace, my saving grace. Have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the whole world. But God, I didn't do much. I can only go to church when I can. I read my Bible when I remember, and I pray when I forget. And then I remember, and then I pray. I'm not that great, God. You know what God says? Hey, listen, this is a picture of Job. Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the whole earth. He's perfect and he's upright and he fears God. What made him perfect and upright? It was the fact that he feared God. He feared God, that he believed God. That's what made him perfect and upright. You don't see anywhere in those scriptures where Job actually did anything to prove and show that he was perfect. You don't see anything in those scriptures that show, that prove that Job was totally righteous. All you saw in those scriptures was a man who was very careful to continue to go to God in prayer. That's all you see. Asking and praying to God and asking God for more grace. Not just for me, but for my kids. They're doing things that I know you don't appreciate, and I don't even know what they're doing, but they're going to need more grace, God. Please, please, please give them grace. He's asking God to exalt his kids. It's amazing because God saw Job as one who was exalted, and Job saw himself as one who was abased. There was one thing that Job knew that he could count on. He can continue to trust in God. And that would cause himself, his self, to be exalted above everything. To be put above everything. Job knew that. You know, in Luke, the 19th chapter, in the 17th verse, you know, God, Christ, he tells a story, and the story is about a servant who receives from his master, and he takes it, and he multiplies it, and he knows he didn't get much from the beginning. He got the least from the beginning to use it to do something with. And he took what he was given by his master, which was the least, because he knew his attitude was the least. He knew his heart, his motivation was the least. He took what was given to him. He got rid of that least mentality. And he says, you know what? I'm going to invest in this because God is good. My master is good. He gave me this and I'm going to multiply. I'm going to exalt my master. This is what I'm going to do. He took what he had, the least, and he used it, and he used it, and he got a little bit more. And then the master says to him, hey, you were faithful in a little. He didn't just say little, he said very little. You were faithful with a very little, because that's where your heart was at, so that's what I gave you. But you took a very little bit of what you had, and you used it. You exalted me. You spread my name. And because of that, I'm going to put you, listen to this, I'm going to put you in authority over 10 cities. Wouldn't you be amazed? I didn't do much. Yeah, but you believed. And I'm exalting you. How would God exalt us? Why would he do this? He wouldn't even exalt himself. He wanted man to exalt him. He wouldn't exalt himself. He wanted us to do it. We didn't choose him. He chose us. We didn't choose to exalt him. He chose to exalt us. That is so confusing. It's so foreign. Why would God do that? You know, God says, listen, you are a chosen generation. First Peter. Was it 2:9? It says, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. And if you don't believe it, that's why you are a peculiar people. You still sin, but yet I still love you, and I still have a desire to exalt you. And why am I going to do all of this? It shares it right there in the scripture. I'm bringing you to a place. I'm bringing you to the end of yourselves. I'm allowing you to know who I am for your sake. And then I'm going to exalt you. Why, God? To show forth the praises of who I am. All the reason why I'm going to exalt you, whether you believe it or not, is because you believe me. You trust me and you say you love me and it comes out of your mouth. It's praise. It's praise. When you go out there in that world and you talk about me, you're praising me. The world don't praise me. The world won't praise me. They really don't understand, but they know they need me. And you open your mouth and your heart and you express who I am and you're praising me. And because of that, exalt you. Hey, you gotta get it. You gotta get it. This Christmas is not just Christ's day. Christmas is your day. It's a day where Christ wants you to remember that, hey, not just me, but Christ in you. I'm going to exalt you. I'm going to take you with me. I'm going to sit you down on the right hand side of the Father with me. We're going to rule together over nations. We're going to get this right. We're going to do this right. I'm going to exalt you. And I'm going to do it because you're willing to praise me. Our Christmas is about praising God. Giving the Son, Jesus Christ, his praises that are due. That's what offering is about. Especially during Christmas. It's about the time of giving. It's about a time where we're going to do what needs to be done. We're going to praise God. We're going to do it publicly. Some people don't like happy holidays. Hey, I don't care. Happy holidays. But I like Merry Christmas a whole lot better. It's got Christ's name in the middle of it. Right? So I'm going to say Merry Christmas. I'm going to praise God. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to praise God. And every time I praise him, he's going to make me a little bit less fearful. He's exalting me. He's going to make me a little bit more trusting in him. He's exalting me. He's going to allow me to forgive just a little bit more. Myself and others, he's exalting me. And he's going to teach me how to love unconditionally. He's exalting me. He's going to bring me to a place where I realize it's not me. I can't do it, but it's Christ in me that can do it. He's going to humble me. And when he humbles me, what is he going to do? He's going to use me as a representative to exalt him. Hey, what better way to praise God than to open your mouth and say God is good to us? A child is born on Christmas Day, Son of God. Why? Because he had an awesome and great desire to exalt me. I don't even deserve it. But he wants to give me grace, exalt me. And he is worthy to be praised. So, Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for your offering. We ask you to bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah, kids can go out Sunday school. So, you know, I was thinking about this room that we're in right here. Take a look around. We're all very familiar with what's going on in here. Chairs, carpet, sheetrock, paint, words, music, right? Like, we know what happens here, and most of you are here more than once a week. Like, we know what's going on in this room, right? Sunday mornings. But, you know, I was like sitting, listening to you, Pastor Danny, just listening to the word and like thinking, like we come here and we're looking for, God. You know, we're looking to be humbled. You know, we're looking for him to be exalted. Let God arise and his enemies will be scattered, you know. And my enemy is not just like my past or what I come through the door with, the weight that I come through the door with. My enemy is also like, you know, my successes. My enemy is whatever I come through the door with that would distract me from just like putting everything out there on the table and just saying like, okay, God. And right there, that's the starting point, I think. When we come through these doors on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Bible college class, you know, like, okay, you know, the room, yeah, turn on the light, make sure we got the lights on, you know, what are you doing for songs, okay, you know. But, like, you know, Jesus, God spent decades pounding into the Jewish heads, I am a holy God, you know. And why did he do that? You know, hey, make sure you got this fence up on the roof of your house and do it the way I write it down and give it to Moses. Why, God? Why should we do it? Because I'm a holy God. You know? And now I got like this awesome little baby that my wife delivered. And I was thinking about kids and, you know, you think you spend a lot of time going, ah, like you gotta learn that noise if you're gonna be a parent. Ah, you know? And we look at what they're doing. And all of a sudden that noise sneaks out of you. I never thought I would make that noise, but all of a sudden, Judah's born and he's running, you know, he's pushing over the Christmas tree. Yes, Christmas, you know. you know, well, why shouldn't I do this, Dad? Because I'm your father, right? Our dads tell us that. Dad, why? Because I'm your dad. Shut up. And it's kind of like what God was doing with the Hebrews. Like, well, why do we have to like not work on the Sabbath? You know, I'm not saying we're doing that, right? We're saying to them, why do I have to put that fence up on my roof? It's ridiculous. Why can't I pick up sticks on the Sabbath? Because I'm holy. But what was the point? Like, God wasn't doing the to the Hebrews, right? He was actually saying, like, okay, you know, you come into this room every Sunday and you hear these words and you sing these songs, you know, like, you know what's going on. But I want to tell you something, that there's actually, like, there's something else happening. And I am a holy God. When you were speaking, Pastor Danny, about that being abased and humbled before him, and that word just came to my mind. You might have even mentioned it, holiness. And I was thinking, you know, what it means to come into the presence of God. Like David did, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, 1 Chronicles 17. David wants to build the temple. Nathan says, go ahead and do it. And God says to Nathan, nope, well, no. Nathan goes back to the king. And you imagine you're going to a warlord king, telling him who accumulated the most landmass that Israel had ever had because of the wars that he waged. And you're going to go to him and you already told him yes. And you're going to go back to him and tell him no. Right? Nathan does it, and you know what David does? Pops his head off. No, he doesn't. But I love this verse. David came through these doors, sat, Vince, right where you're sitting, sat before the Lord. That's what he did. You know? And when we come in here on a Sunday, you know, and like, I don't care, you know, stand or sit during the song, sing or be quiet, clap or not, like in the service, if I'm taking notes or not, or Bible open or closed. But like, I think, seems to me that the issue is the Lord would come in here and David sits before him and the Lord would say, David, you know, I am holy. David would say, like, teach me about that. And holiness in the Bible means that like, this room, this time, babies may be crying, you know, I have to go to the bathroom, I'm out, I gotta go, but I gotta come back, you know, like all this stuff going on, but this time that we have together, this room, scriptures, these songs, this is a holy thing that we have before God. And David would sit before the Lord and say, well, what's that about? God would say, holiness, like, you are free from corruption. This is a holy thing. And we could say, like David, yeah, but I'm not free from corruption. And in the Bible, there's grammatical tenses used, not to get all schooly on you Sunday morning, but one of them is that I am made free from corruption. Like I could come in here and sit here, say, God, I got so much stuff going on. God, yeah, another Sunday, we sing this chorus over and I'm like, oh, you're good. Okay, I know you're good. Let's move on now, you know, come on, you know, right? But David would just sit before the Lord, you know, and say, God, what is it? God would say, I'm holy. Okay, well, what's this about? You know, well, free from corruption. In what way, God? Because I'm not free from corruption. My heart is like deceitful, desperately wicked. I've even got a good side to it and a bad side, Romans 7 says. And God says, well, give me the whole thing. And David would say in the Psalms, he wrote it, unite my heart to fear your name. What is David recognizing here in this room on Sunday morning? That God is holy. That God is free from the corruption that is in us because of the fall, and God is giving that freedom to us. But I could sit here on a Sunday morning and have my vision totally tainted, right? Like the way I perceive things, it's wrong, it's off. But by sitting here Sunday morning and humbling myself, abasing myself before God and letting Him arise, He says, be still and know. And it doesn't say that I am God, but it says that I, God, will be exalted. Psalm 46. And this is what holiness is all about. This holy time that we have in church service. We come and we sit before the Lord and we abase ourselves in that way. Because you could be doing anything else right now. I mean, it's Christmas, right? Like families coming and going. We could be doing all kinds of stuff. We got a tree to hunt down, you know? But there's things to do. There's cookies to bake and stuff. Cookies to eat, more like, you know? But there's stuff going on. But coming through these doors, sitting down, singing these songs, concentrating, like limiting myself, you are abasing yourself. You are humbling yourself before God. And God is saying, you say, why, God? And God is saying, because I'm a holy God. I am free. I am free to operate as I will, to discern how I will, to love how I will, to have joy the way I want to have joy, to have peace in my heart the way I want to have peace in my heart. And we, like David, sit before him and we say, yeah, but, you know, who are we? God says, that grammatical schooly stuff I was telling you about, I will free you from the corruption that is in your discernment, that is in your love, that is in your joy, that is in your peace. I will free you from that corruption that's just leeching the life out of you because of the fall, because of having blood pumping through your veins. But that's why church is so awesome, because we come in here on purpose, humble ourselves before a holy God, and we find that He is holifying us. You know, I used in a message one time, celestify. It's actually, I found out later, it was actually a word. An English teacher told me, actually, that's a word. That God is celestifying us. He's making us heavenly. You didn't think that was happening here Sunday morning, right? But you come in and you sit before the Lord and humble yourself before Him and sing these stupid choruses that we do. Oh, there's only three words to it. Can't we sing something else, you know? But just sit before God, abase ourselves before Him, like you were saying, Pastor Danny. And you know what happens? God, why am I doing this? Because I'm holy. I am free, and I am celestifying you. And it really happens. And it really can happen, really does happen. You know what's amazing about it? Rachel and I were talking this morning, like, you know, the old Benjamin Button syndrome. You know, you pop out of the womb, got all this energy, you know. Baby's, you know, you know, right? Got all this energy. They don't know anything. I take care of them. And then as you grow up, get wiser and wiser, weaker and weaker. And if you just looked at the human race, you would say, well, it's pointless. Like, why accumulate all of this wisdom and skill just to die, have not the power to do anything with it? And I think C.S. Lewis brings the point out that it's because death isn't the end. It's because all of this virtue and all this holiness that God is pouring into us here in church, it is good for something in heaven. You know? Like I was thinking this morning of the angel in Milton's poem, Paradise Lost. Satan is gathering all the, Lucifer, he's gathering all these angels together and he's giving them his plot. It's so unjust what God is doing to us, exalting this son over us. Who is he to do that and exalt him over us? As far as we know, we were here as soon as he was here. As far as our memories go back, we weren't created. We were just always here, just like he was. Who is he to exalt him over us? And one angel stands up and says, I think you guys are forgetting something. And there is virtue there in heaven, and it's needed. Of course, we know that that war is never going to happen again, right? But the point is, we're going through this life, God celestifying us, freeing us from corruption in our love, in our discernment, in our joy, in our peace, in our wisdom, freeing us from this corruption, just as we humble ourselves in a church service. And it's not that we die and, what was the point of that? It's that we die and we go to heaven and we're with him and we realize that, wow, like God, you poured all this into me so that I could have it now here in heaven for a purpose. You know, that when we get there, we are like these awesome, like useful tools in the hand of, the architect, you know, and things are happening there in heaven. And we, like that angel, we stand up and we say, actually, you know what's going on here? It's that God would be praised. You know, that it says in the Psalms that we could make his praise glorious. God doesn't make his praise glorious. He says that we do. He is enthroned in our praises, says in Psalm 22. And I think this is the amazing privilege that we have of coming to church. You know, we do just like David did. God, he says yes, then he says no. We don't freak out and push for our own way like a little kid. God just goes, I am holy. We say, you are free. Make me free. God says, you just come sit before me, and it's happening. Amen?
Let's stand up, if you will. We'll just, well, Lord, we just thank you for the time before you and finding you, looking for you. You being with us, you know, and we cannot produce it. We cannot make it happen. We want it to happen, and you want it to happen, Lord. You would allow, you know, yourself to manifest for your people today, that we would see by your mercy and grace, Emmanuel, God is with us. The liberty that we have because of the work that you've done, Father, as we just continue in your word and you are forming yourself within us, Lord. Oh, that here we are, you know, this week, holiday season, many joyous things, many struggles in hearts and things that separate or divide or feel empty or lacking. Fill your people that you could, you know, joy as we share Friday morning, great joy, Lord. And then today, and we would just see you with us, Lord. We're just thankful for this time in your presence in the name of Christ. Amen. Ready? You may be seated. You can open your Bibles through to let's first look at let's look at 2 Corinthians and chapter 3. This is Pastor John is speaking, and this is verse 16, and I think as we'll be looking in Matthew 1:23 about Emmanuel. Pastor John preached this on Friday morning at Outreach, God with us. And he says here in 2 Corinthians 3:16, nevertheless, it shall turn to the Lord when the veil is taken away. Isn't that amazing? What veil? The veil. What vow? You know, you think there's a lot of vows. Maybe, you know, women, if you're married, maybe you put a vow. They still do that? Vow over the face, you know? There's a vow there. You can't see, so clearly. It's Christmas time. You're looking for something. You're wanting something. Maybe you're happy, but like, there's like a vow. You know? Does it ever happen? Yeah, it sure does. Way too much. And guys like, and he's saying, but you know what? I want to take that veil, like, away. I want to take the veil away. And this is the liberty, when the veil, shall be taken away. And what was it, a veil? It was a veil upon the heart. And the Lord is this spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, what is there? You have liberty. You have liberty. Ooh. Liberty. Yeah, liberty to be an idiot. Well, we already know that. liberty to say no one will tell me what to do. Yeah, I know that. Liberty to be your own person. Yeah. Okay, you got all the stupid liberties down. I understand. Well, not you, but, you know, you could have all the stupid liberties down. Nobody tell me what to do. I'm my own man. I don't have to listen if I don't want to listen. And that's the liberty God gave you. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's a different liberty. And it's the kind of liberty that can be like an open face. Like, what does that mean, an open face? You know, you ever heard that term, shut your face? I guess, you know. Well, this, I guess you have heard that term, shut your face. No. And, but here it's an open face. What does it mean? Like, I'm wanting to receive something from the Lord with an open face. And the beauty is the veil gets lifted. Why? Because of an open face. What is an open face? Just as Pastor John and Pastor Danny, you know, shared, an open face is humility. An open face is, God has something for me. An open face is, there's something for me to receive. It takes humility to receive, doesn't it? You know, pride will say, I know. Pride has its course. But an open face says, huh, where the Spirit of the Lord is, I have a freedom. You know, people say, well, you got to humble yourself. Hey, humility is a great freedom. I mean, to go, oh God, whew. People say, no, it's a word. No, that's actually a liberty. Freedom. Humility is liberty. And Christ is saying, humble yourself. It's like, you know what? Take spot. You know, the devil works hard against it, right? Christ did it in Philippians 2. And the devil wants everything to go against it. But Christ says, no, here's the liberty. With an open face, you can behold. I'll show you something. I'll let a veil be taken away, and that you will be like, you know, as Pastor John, changed into my image. How? Glory to glory. How? Humility. Open face, that we would have it before the Lord. Here in Matthew chapter 1, in verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. Right? Matthew 1:23. Behold, virgin. I like this. You think of humility. Here is Joseph. Joseph, her husband, in verse 19, being a just man and not willing to make a public example of her, was minded to put her away, privily. Like, what kind of man is this? You think you'd get a little indignatious that, obviously the woman that's bowed to me is popping up pregnant. This is a slap in my face, maybe? Possible? This is what's espoused. This is the one espoused to me and showing up like with child, and he's going to say in his heart, I don't want to like make a mess out of her life. Wow. Now that's some humility, isn't it? That was Joseph. We don't hear a lot about Joseph, but that's enough right there, isn't it? How's that for some humility, And you know what happens in his humility? The Spirit of God speaks to him. That's even like more humility. Like, oh, open face. God, oh, you got something for me. You know what? Up to this time, this thing we have right here, the presence of the Lord, this thing we have right now, God with us, this thing that's made available. Was it made available? This is what Christ did. He brought us to this place that in a moment, in a second, that whatever is going on, you know what? I can receive the presence of God. This is a lot. This is what he's talking about. Emmanuel. God available for you. And like, Christmas, what am I looking for? By the grace of God, we do get it here, don't we? Spirit of God, God doing something. And while he thought on these things, what is he thinking on? I don't want to ruin this woman's life. Wow. But I guess, I can't really take her as my wife. But I don't want to ruin her life. You know what happens? The Lord appears. You know what? Emmanuel means the Lord is appearing. God with us. And we'll just look at just a few, scenarios, just biblical examples of God being with us. Let God be with you. You can't make him be with you. But you can be available for him to show up. But only he can show up. Right? What am I going to do? Well, humility. I'm opening the door and I'm saying, I'm beholding, Lord, I'm looking. Or maybe I'm just drifting around. Maybe I'm just biding my time. Maybe I'm just fulfilling my obligation. Anyone heard this morning service, Pastor Love, I used to think it this way. He was talking about he always had an obligation with the church twice a year. One was Christmas, one was Easter. Christmas had passed and it was like he hadn't gotten in the doors, to say hello to the Lord. And he had people dropping him off like at midnight, not midnight before Christmas, midnight of Christmas, and the doors were locked. don't be that way. Just like receive, Lord. I have something I want. I have something. I need something from you. And you know what? God wants to give it to you. Yeah, the devil wants to say, you're not worthy, and we're going to see that. But God's saying, you know what? It's Christmas time. I'm with you. Your life is okay. No. Things need to take place for my life to be okay. Do they, Joseph? I would say quite a bit there. But the Lord shows up and you know what? All of a sudden, tragedy. This would be tragedy. Here is a man of standing, and
You're going to marry this woman and it's not even your baby? You're going to do that? Really? Yeah. And he says, and I love it here. He says in verse 20, fear not. I mean, I wouldn't have thought he was fearing, but always the Lord showing up. And like he did it with the shepherds, right? And he always says this, fear not. How about that liberty? What liberty? A liberty, no fear. I mean, I don't know what you may be afraid of, but for certain, something, right? The devil's very good in this area. Afraid of the future, afraid of what could, would, should happen, maybe what should happen, you know, in the natural man. But the Lord's going, fear not. You know why? Because I am with thee. It made me think this morning of Isaiah, 43:1-2. Fear not, for you know what? I have done what? I have in thee. I've called you by my name. You are mine. You know? And he goes on and he says, a virgin will come forth and bring forth a son. His name, Emmanuel, being interpreted, God with us. I like this the end of the Gospel of Luke. You know this story of the road to Emmaus, right? You know, guys are walking and they're talking. Walking and talking about. And they're talking about Christ. You know, and we do this. We talk about Christ. But something was missing. And actually Christ was with them. And they, like Jacob, God in the place, but I knew it not. You know, wouldn't that be sad? God's in the place. And why would I not know it? God's in the place and I don't know it. Why? Well, familiarity, actually thinking in pride, lack of humility. God's in the place and I don't know it. Now, God's not in the place because I'm a mighty man of God, I'll tell you that. God's in the place because God wants to be in the place for you. Right? And for me, it takes humility to be looking for God in the place. But we don't realize, and he'll say this in 2 Corinthians 11, like as the devil beguiled, that he would take you away from your virginity. Very interesting statement Paul makes to the church there. And could be making it to any of us at any time. I fear. He says, I fear with a godly fear. We fear with an ungodly fear. God says, let me take that away, but let me give you a godly fear that you would miss something. You know, I don't want you to miss anything. I want you to have that liberty of like an open face and just beholding what, the Lord. So they were talking and Jesus, you know, walks beside them in Luke 24:25. He says, oh, fools and slow of heart. There you go. That's what I want to be. Oh, fools and slow of heart. What's your trouble? What's your problem? You know? Oh, fools and slow of heart. This is 24:25. Slow to believe everything. Ought not Christ have suffered these things? And entered into his glory. What do we behold? We behold the glory. Should not have all this happened? And entered into his glories. And then he began to explain. Right? And it's like, and then you know what he did? And I loved it in verse 18. And their eyes were open. this is like really what it takes. Like, God, I'm wanting to behold God. I kind of believe. I mean, I do believe, you know. But like, can I get like a deeper revelation? Does God want to draw? Is this it? That all there is, my friend? Is this it? God, open my eyes. How about it? Penny? Will he? I mean, at least maybe at Christmas time, Lord. Open. What's it take? Oh, humility. Not locked into my own little circle. Not locked into my own little safety zone that I won't let anything like break through and touch me. Not locked into my circumstances or the details or the thing I'm holding on to or the thing I'm wondering why you haven't done yet, Lord. Why? You know, I mean, like, my wife and I were speaking this morning and, you know, our kids were coming down whatever night that was last night, two nights ago, and they totaled a car. And I mean, really totaled a car and all the airbags went off and it's, Ben and Rebecca and Daniel. And I mean, I got a picture of this car. I'm like, ooh, whoo, you know, but they're all okay. I mean, they're battered and bruised and their bodies are hurting and they're taking ibuprofen. And you know, you could look and think, oh God, why you let that happen? That's one hard attitude. Sometimes it's the one we have. It's a bad one, by the way. Because we're not, like, what we have to think is, like, what did you save them from, Lord? Because the ambulance that stopped to check on them was going to a much worse accident just a little bit in front of them. And actually seeing they were okay and went on to the one probably where people died. And so, you know, guys, we, sometimes we're looking, and yeah, we see through a glass just so darkly, right? You know, in 1 Corinthians 13. But God, you know, then we'll see face to face and then we'll know. And we have these promises and like we gotta behold them and you know what? And let God like open our eyes. And look what happened. He opened their eyes and then you know what happened? Their hearts got warmed. He opened their eye. Like we gotta, like yeah, maybe I won't know till the day I seek, but I know him. Do you know him? I mean, you do know him. You know him. And he's saying, you know what? You really don't know what tragedy I might have saved you from in that. Like what was just ahead? Who knows? We don't. So we have to be careful. Like, oh, it's not fair. Oh, this shouldn't happen. You just thank God. Thus, like we shared yesterday morning at our family, like thus far, right? God has dealt bountifully with me. You got it? Why? Because you're here right now and you're alive and you're breathing. Thus far, God has dealt bountifully with me. Will you spend all your life worrying about what could, should, or would happen? I mean, really? Or will you live your life like beholding the Lord? And God saying, I've got something for you and it is the right now, it is the eternal. And you know what it is? It's that child that was born, Emmanuel, God with you. Let him be with you. But like, I want you with me. And it's like maybe this could be the prayer. Open my eyes. Those who finds him? Those that seek him. What does it take to seek? I'm needing you in this, Lord. I'm needing you in this situation. It doesn't seem right. I need you. And God says, that's now you've got the hard attitude. Like, what was Joseph doing in that? Getting indignant? No. What do I do, Lord? And you know what? Good solution. But you could have went the other route. Dirty, no good, filthy woman, kid. I'm not hearing anything from God about this because God couldn't be in this to begin with. God wouldn't allow this to, and it, God wouldn't allow that to happen. And you know what he did? God, did allow that to happen, and a Savior came out of it. But we could have looked at it naturally and know God wouldn't let that happen. Ain't no way my spouse's wife is pregnant, and that, there's no way that's from God. That doesn't even, that can't even come into the realm of what can happen in a life. Right? And I mean, there it is. And guess what? It happened. And we got a Savior out of it. Well, isn't that amazing? But then look at the circumstance. And that's probably much worse than what you're going through. Right? You just gotta like, what? Open my eyes, Lord. He opened. Their eyes were opened. And he vanished. I love it. Opened the eyes like, yeah, where'd you go? Wait a minute. We're just getting a glimpse. And that's kind of how it comes. It's like glimpses. Get a glimpse. Like the Lord shows himself and we go, yeah. And then, well, wait, you're gone. Cause you know why? It's an ongoing, continual process of seeking the Lord. That's why we're here a lot. If you got it all, you'd just get sassy, right? You know? But he feeds it to us how? And then look at their statement then. He opens their eyes, right? Vanishes, and they say to one another, did not our hearts burned within us while he talked with us by the way, and look what he did, and while he opened the scriptures. Oh guys, isn't it amazing? Here it is, opening of the eyes, the warming of the hearts, and it's always associated with the opening of scriptures. Open your scriptures. Open your scriptures. Open. You know, people say, well, read your Bible. Read your Bible, but read it like the right way. Like, come on. Let God do what? They knew the things that should take place, but they were just like at another level, just talking about it. You didn't hear what happened? Natural this and then this and that. And you know, it's like the night, it's like the, you know, the news. And Christ shows up and says, how about like, I think you know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to open your eyes. Sometimes we're like, sometimes here's the Christian walk. Here's our salvation and our walk. It's in Acts 9 with Paul. And let's just turn there. We'll, no. Acts chapter 9. You know, Christ knocks him down. He sees a great light. And he says, Lord, what will you have me to do? You know, salvation's coming. You got it, right? But then you wander around like a blind man for the rest of your Christian walk. I got saved, but I'm wandering around like a blind man, waiting for somebody to come lay hands on me so that, you know what, finally my eyes can be opened again. You know what? We need it, guys, because humility has to stay in it, right? You think, what do you think that example is all about? Here's a man with purpose, serving with zealousness beyond measure. We would all admire the man, and God knocks man, just blinds him. Has somebody get him by the hand. And then you're fasting, you're praying, and you're waiting, and nobody even wants to come talk to you. I ain't laying hands on that guy. He's trouble. And look what happens. And once again, this is just the principle in Acts 9, verse 18. And you know what happened? Immediately there fell from his eyes like it was scales, and he received his sight and arose and was baptized and received the meat and was strengthened. You know what? Like, maybe it's like that, like just the crusting over. I received the Lord. I heard something from the Lord, and I know it was real, and I got saved, but I just been kind of like wandering around in the days ever since. You know, wondering, what's the purpose? And God's saying, come on, humility. Let me open. And if you don't think your eyes need to be open, you're really blind. Because it's not a one-time experience. It's a going on continuing of beholding and God reopening the eyes. You know, he says it in Ephesians 1, that the eyes of the understanding can be enlightened. Like, come on, there's more to come. Hey, did you know? Thank God there's more to come, huh? I mean, you know, is this it, Lord? I mean, maybe if you're there, but is it? No, I got more. There's always, as this is Pastor John, there's always more. Humility is the gateway. God's got more. That's why we're in the place 3, 4, 5 times a week. Why? Because God has more. You know what? TV shows will come and go. The time before the Lord is eternal. You know? My work will come and go. My sleep will come and go. My little stupid of what's in. Because he declares in Ephesians 1:23, it's in the body, on the head, and it's the local assembly. I didn't make the decision. God did. I just follow it. You can make another decision and you'll be wandering around wherever you're wandering around, and you're okay with that, you know, in your little sassy life. God, open our eyes. And you know what happens? Strength comes. Got it? Oh, or how about this one? One more. You know, Mary and Martha in John chapter 11. If you'd been here, Lord, God, if you were here, it would have never happened. Where were you, Lord, when I needed you? God, I wish you were here. This would not, you ever say that one? God, I love how God gives us all these biblical examples of our lives and our little stupidities. Martha says, it's in, John chapter 11, and she says in verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't, Lord, if you just, where were you, Lord? Did it just, cause she's a little natural. She was cumbersome. Why did the Lord say she was cumbersome? Oh, cares of this life. It's amazing. The cares of this life cumber us from seeing the work of God. Right? Is it clear enough in that example? I mean, we're not reading the whole thing, but he says, you're careful. You're worried about too many things, but Mary chose the good part. I'm not going to take it away. Or am I like, if you were here, Lord, it wouldn't have happened. And Christ, I mean, he speaks it so clearly. He says, I know whatever you ask, God will do in 22. And he says, your breath will rise again. And she, knowing her doctor, says, yeah, I know in the last day. But Christ, I love this in 25. I am. I love it. God with us. What does it mean? I am. I am. Like in the presence of God, I am resurrection. And I am life. And this is what we're looking for. And like, let's have it. Let's let it be like, here it is. Like, I feel like it's already Christmas Day for some reason. I don't know. My kids are showing up and there's burning. I'm not thinking I'm going to work anymore for a week. You know, I will, but I'm thinking I'm not, you know. And, but like, let's have this in our hearts. Yeah, God. In myself, I'll never find it. You know, but if God will open my eyes, God will warm my heart. If I, in humility, say, God, you've got something for me. You know what? God has something for us, and it is Emmanuel. Not if you were here, Lord. You know, not like that question. You know, or why were you not here, Lord? But Lord, you are here, and I'm believing. You know, you have something for me. You know, hey. We'll be here tonight worshiping God. We'll be here Wednesday night worshiping God. Christmas Eve, 5:30, we'll have a blast worshiping God. Sunday morning, Christmas morning, 10:30, you know, we'll be here. I mean, maybe you won't, but we'll be here. If you want to come and worship God, you can. Right? Let's come and let's glorify Emmanuel. Let's like really celebrate, you know, the birth of like our Savior. That because of this birth, what? God is with me and God is with you. Amen. Let's stand and we really went long, but oh well. That's okay. Oh, what are we going to do? We're going to sing a song. Can we sing a song? Let's sing it. Hey, it's beautiful worship time, the guys, today. Thank you. God with us. Can it happen? Is it possible that God could even be with you? Yes, it is. More. And you're greater and you're above every detail and circumstance. Persons in your life that maybe are distant from God, that you wish would respond. Well, respond for them. Respond in front of them. Be the joy of Christ in their presence. They may not be able to see God, but they can see you. And if you're glorifying God, you know what? It happens. It just happens, guys. Let it happen. Amen. Be blessed of God, guys. Enjoy your day. Dismissed.